Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to the After School Dawah podcast. As you can see, well, you probably can't see, but you can probably tell that the quality is a bit banging at the moment.
Is it? Yeah, it is looking banging. You know? Yeah.
Huh? You can't tell. There's a reason why Saad can't tell. But
we took away Saad's mic today.
Listen. Yeah, you know,
it never works.
we had to give him a bit of a time out in it.
The issue wasn't my mic. No, it was my incompetence.
It was the cable.
Talking to the freaking mic, bro.
The issue wasn't my mic or my incompetence. It was the cable. Not my fault. So anyone flipping, because I know the first time it happened. Sorry, I know the first time it happened. People were like, "Oh, Saad, why are you so stupid, bro? Why are you turn up?" To be fair, I didn't turn on my mic. Fair enough. But the second time it happened, I'm assuming people were thinking the same thing.
Let it be known, it wasn't my fault.
I did get a few messages.
Yeah, exactly. Let it be known, not my fault.
Go on, sorry.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, someone said, what's the plan? Are you going to remove the mic or are you going to remove Saad? I'm like, listen, I paid for the mic, so...
I mean, it's obvious.
You know, but hopefully everything's calm now. We checked more than 5 times this time, innit? But yeah, anyways, without wasting anyone's time, inshallah, let's get on to today's episode. So, as you guys know, Eid just went by.
Eid Mubarak, you know, everyone.
So, Eid Mubarak to everyone. So, this is Eid al-Fitr. This is the... What do people normally call it? The big Eid.
It's Adha. We're keeping that in. We're definitely keeping that in. Yo, guy live Ramadan.
Listen, I fasted the day of Arafat, and that was enough, bro. I was like, yo.
Did that feel like a month, yeah?
I felt like I went past Ramadan right there. Yeah, so the Eid for Qurbani. I don't think any of you guys did Qurbani, right?
Yeah.
I mean you yourself.
Oh no.
It's probably your dad in it. Yeah, dad yeah. Same here. You know, with Qurbani, right? So I don't. Dad, why are you giggling, bro?
That's such a random thing to say.
Bro, okay. It's one of the highlights of this Eid, bro.
Yeah, no. Saying like, I don't think you guys did Qurbani. We're gonna assume that you mean us as our family as a whole.
No,
your dad. You know, you're not you yourself.
Obviously, no. Because what you call it? Obviously, we're at a certain age, innit?
We're at a certain age.
I apologize to everyone listening. Okay. we'll just skip the Qurbani. Okay.
I paid.
So he did do Qurbani.
You know what happened, yeah?
So my question was valid.
It was just a bit random, it was misspoken,
I think. My dad.
Listen, you just assumed. Well, okay, sorry.
You know what happens when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. my dad paid for it, innit? And then a few days later, he turned up. I didn't know he paid for it. I thought I was paying for it myself, innit? Which I ended up doing anyway, but he literally turned around and said, yeah, give me like £215 or whatever. I'm like, okay. Yeah, heads up would have been nice. I literally just got paid, but okay.
I've been there.
I'll be lying. I'll listen, wait till end of the month, innit? When he's all a bit tired at the moment.
End of next month.
end of next year, bro. Yeah. But yeah, anyways, so how was your guys' Eid?
It was amazing. Alhamdulillah. We did something different this Eid in Shafran, our local mosque.
Yeah.
We prayed Eid Salah in the park, you know, the football field. And this is the first year we did it, and it was so sick. And so.
Oh, so you guys have never done Eid in the park before?
Never.
Okay.
We've always done 3 separate jamaahs in the mosque.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how, like, you know, how exhausting that might get.
What was the reason behind that?
The main motivation was to just have everyone pray Eid Salah in one place at one time, instead of having 3 separate jamaahs, you know. It used to be 1 at 8:30, 1 at 9:30, 1 at 10:30.
Yeah.
And so this year they were just like, let's just do it in the park. So then they proper set up the field, sanded the field and everything, drew the lines and set up for like a whole week or 2 weeks. It took bare effort, a lot of effort and a lot of money, but it paid off. Alhamdulillah, it was sick. The weather was amazing. But obviously you got the few people that didn't like it. And we're complaining. And that's a pretty funny story.
Complaining about the weather and stuff?
I don't know. Just about the whole thing. But I'll tell you that in a bit. Yeah, how's your guys' eat?
Alhamdulillah, Maid was good. I was in, I can't even pronounce the place in it. But yeah, Scunthorpe. Something like that. Scunthorpe, whatever in it. It's basically, it's past Leeds, past Hull, yeah. Right? It's a bit northwest. Is that northwest?
Northeast, I think.
So northeast probably, but yeah, you know, basically my dad, he had he led Eid prayer over there, yeah, so that's why we went. And then obviously we kind of just visited the houses there in it, and by we I mean my family did. I was like, listen, I ain't going to anyone's houses. I see me with that. Like, I used to do that when I was younger, but then the last maybe two, like, since I came back from uni, last 2-3 years, I haven't done that. Maybe a little bit more in it. I kind of just stayed at home. Obviously, that was an option on this Eid. So I was like, listen, I'm here in a new city. I robbed Sod's camera as well, the one that we're using right now. So I was like, listen, why not take some, like, go, you know, just explore the city, take some nice pictures in it. I went to the art museum, because it was free. Took some pictures in there. I showed the people, like the people that were working there, I was like, you want to see the pictures? And they were like, yo, these pictures are better than the ones we took. I was like, say this in it. It's angles, bro. It's angles. They were like,
should have dropped a business card right there.
Yo, trust me, bro. Trust me.
Check out the pictures at
Now, listen, we're going to add them in it, like on the Instagram when we post it, and then they'll see. The thing is, they saw the pictures not edited. So I'm like, yeah, just you waiting it. But yeah, proper nice people over there in it. Then, you know, it was quite funny, right? So after, you know, so my dad's friend, he was the one that dropped me off at the art museum. And then I was kind of there, so kind of like stranded in that area, right? So then after the art museum, I was like, I kind of tired in it, you know, and it was near the whole time. I don't know what time the whole like Jamaat or anything was in it, because whatever in it. But I was like, yeah, it's near the whole time in it, so let me go find a mosque in it. So I'm just there, like, walking around. I didn't even go with my maps or anything. I'm not walking around. I just see a dome, and I'm like, mosque, okay? So then I go there, and I'm, like, trying to open the door. Some guys come in, and they're like, oh, you're trying to go inside the mosque? You have to go around the back, and whatever. So I go around the back, and guess who I see inside? I see my dad. So no, coincidentally, way. My dad and, you know, all his friends and stuff, they went to the mosque at the same time, and it was prayer time at that time as well, alhamdulillah, innit? So, you know, I prayed with them in it, and kind of went back to some other house with them as well, innit? You know, and then near the evening, we went down to the beach. Unfortunately, the camera died as soon as I got to the beach, so I didn't get any good pictures there, unfortunately. But yeah, it was nice. We went on a boat. My sisters were really scared of the ducks for some reason. Like, I don't know, they acted like they never saw ducks before in their lives, but, you know, like, for some reason, like, if you're on a boat, ducks are much more scary to them. And yeah, it was nice. I would have rather been at home, to be fair, but it was nice. And yeah, that was my Eid. But yeah, normally my Eid is kind of like, you know, I go Eid prayer. This is my tactic, by the way. If anyone needs a tactic, if anyone wants to use this, it's a life hack, right? For Muslim communities, right? If you have dead Eids where you go to people's houses one after another, and you're tired of that, use this, okay? So what I do is, actually, don't say that I told you guys this anyway. Yeah. But, you know what I do? You know what my tactic is? Wow. So, I go Eid prayer in the morning. Afterwards, I go to one house, yeah? Just one. After that one house, I pretend I have a stomachache. I'm like, yo, listen, I'm gone. And I'll just stay at home. Listen, I just stay at home with it. You know, it works better during Ramadan because that is a bit more believable that you have a stomachache after, like, the first meal in it. But, yeah, I've been using that. Okay, damn, hopefully my family doesn't listen to this. I just realized that. But that is a little tactic in it. So, yeah, I kind of spent Eid at home. And, yeah, I used to enjoy it a lot more when I was younger.
When you're younger, that's when you're most that's when you're most active, and you're just getting along with all the other kids. The awkward phase is like 15 to 25, I'd say. You know, like, you're a teenager, there's no one else really your age, and if there is, you don't really want to talk to them.
Yeah. Like, I was kind of saying this to my siblings in it, you know, when we were in that city. I was like, listen, I'm not, because basically those kids in it, teenagers, whatever, they were playing basketball outside. Yo. And I was like, yo, I'll play with these guys in it. Listen, I'll play in it, you know, play a little bit in it. You know, they didn't look like they were that good in it, that's why. If they were good, I'd be like, hey, listen, you guys leave it in it. But they were playing basketball outside in it. Mm. And I go to them, I'm like, oh, you guys, okay, I'll join you guys in it. I go inside in it to, I don't know what I did inside in it. Like, to take off my bag or whatever, not in it, you know, into the bathroom. When I came out, they were gone. Right, so one of them was left in there and he was about to go as well. I'm like, yo, where'd everyone go? And then he's like, ah, oh, they all went home in it. Because they all live local. They're all like neighbors and stuff. Right. So they went home in it. And my siblings were like, oh, why didn't you go to their house? I'm like, listen, I ain't that ass, bro. Like you know, when you're 22, right, and for a lot of people, you kind of already established your friend groups in it, you know, so you're not really too bothered to make new friends. Oh, yeah, that's also why, like, let's say... when it comes to like going to Islamic events and stuff like that, I've been trying to go more recently as well, innit? But I don't really go to socialize, you know, in a sense, because I'm not really looking to make new friends. Go. I go for the videos to record, bro. But
you go for the actual reasons to go in it.
Go for work or, you know, if you want to learn something, you know.
Well, I mean, some people enjoy socializing. And
That is something, bro. I don't know what it is yet. Like, I always thought that I'm an extroverted person, but then nowadays, like, and I can't, if I'm reflecting back in it to me being extroverted, like in ISOC and stuff, I was social for a reason. There was always a reason behind it, but I never just want to be social by yourself. Like, I never want to, like...
I know exactly what you mean.
You know, like let's say if I'm in another city or something and none of my friends are there in it, you know, and I'm there for a temporary period of time, not like I'm living there or something like that, then, like, I have no motivation to make new friends. I'd much rather just spend time by myself in it. You know, like a bit of a loner, right? Just, you know, spend my time by myself in it.
I fully get you, yeah. I'm pretty much the same. Like, but to other people, especially at work or wherever, people seem like, yo, you're the most extrovert guy ever. And I remember we did a quiz in work once and we all found our, like, personality types. And everyone had theirs. And then I think we split off into our groups, introverts down there and extroverts down there. And we it was so funny. Like,
that's like PE, bro.
We fit the stereotype perfectly. Like, for example, you know how, you know, if you get a bunch of extroverts, we had to write a list each of, like, the strengths and weaknesses of our types. So us extroverts, yeah, we were talking, like, so much. We were like, okay, well, this or that. And then the woman was like, see, normally, well, the girl, the woman in charge, she was like, normally, if you got these two types, groups, introverts, either most of them would be too afraid to speak up or say their opinion, or they wouldn't be able to agree on anything. Just like stereotypically, in it. And the extroverts, they'd all just be shouting stuff, ideas out one by one. They'd have like a list of a million things. 10 minutes later, we get our lists. The introverts don't have a single thing on their list, and we have like 10 things on ours. And we're like, yo, we just confirmed the stereotype.
That is a very balanced thing. Because it's like this, in it. Like, yeah, with groups in it, you kind of need someone who starts the chain.
Yeah, type of thing, kind of. Yeah, you just follow the lead.
Like, if you're someone who's naturally introvert, by the way, like, when it comes to being introvert and an extrovert, it's not that people are 100% an introvert, 100% an extrovert. It's just that it's more of a bit of a scale, right? And some people,
you can have both, of course.
Some people are kind of closer to the middle. Other people are a bit more on one side than the other. But yeah, if you're someone who's naturally introverted, you're not really going to be the first person to speak in it. You don't want that. That's not something you want.
But then when someone does, you're a bit more comfortable too.
And on top of that, there is a bit of, like, I've noticed with people. And I'd say this was definitely the case for me when I was younger as well, innit? You know, I think, like, experiences like ISOC and stuff like that kind of changed things. But prior to that, like, I would be extroverted within my own friend groups, but I would not be comfortable or not be, like, confident enough to speak to people that I don't know very well. You know, so if I'm at an event or something and I don't know people, the worst times for me is weddings, bro. Like, if I ever go to a wedding, That's gonna move on to some other topic in it later on. But yeah. If I ever go to a wedding in it, yeah. You know, usually it's like, you know, because I don't have any family here in the UK, like in terms of wider family. Obviously, my actual family is there in it, but wider family, I don't have any wider family here. So we have like family, friends, and stuff like that. So if I ever go to a wedding, it's usually those people in it, and there's people that obviously my parents would interact with, but me myself, I've never interacted with them in it. And like, you know, there'll obviously be a bunch of like, you know, guys my age or whatnot in it, but I would not just
making
feel,
that step to
yeah I would not feel yeah. comfortable talking, bro. Now that I'm a bit older, now it's more like I am comfortable talking, I just choose not to. It's a bit different. Oh, yeah, no, you know, in a wedding setting in it, you know. And yeah, my you know, Asian parents, and they always like, no, go talk to you. This person is your age, you should be best friends with them. They always think
they
that
always push you in. I'm like, listen, I'm
cool, right? I'm in there. Yeah. Like, I got my phone, bro. I'm probably talking to Tabit at that time anyway. Like,
oh, this wedding is so dead. No one's talking to me. I'm like, bro, go talk to someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, is it the same for you as well, Saad? Do you think
for weddings,
just in general?
Yeah, I'd say I'm more of an ambivert.
Like talking to people you don't know in it.
Yeah, I'd say I'm more of an ambivert. Like most.
You might pull out a different word now.
Nah, ambivert is just literally what you said before. It's a bit of both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But.
The in between.
The in between, yeah. But like, I just. Most of the time, I have no opinion on a matter. Until I have something to say, I don't say anything.
So if you're in a situation, let's say where there's loads of people and everyone's getting along. And you're there as well, and you're saying a few things here and there. Do you think by the end of that you'd feel more exhausted or more energized?
Because like, that's usually
if I've, bro, there's some people that just talk for ages and ages and ages. I get tired of seeing, you know, certain people I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
They just talk for ages and ages, and then for me, it's just like I'm just listening, and just it goes in one ear and out the other, and I might pay attention to every fifth word that comes out of their mouth, which continues the conversation. Otherwise, I don't, you know what I mean? It's like I pay attention to 20% of the details.
You're right.
it's like you always reply to the last thing they said.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in terms of, like if I have something to say, but I feel like other people are getting, like, a good conversation out of it, what I'll do is I'll just keep points in my head, like, a note of them. Which is why sometimes in the podcast you'll see me do this thing where I'm like, oh, I had something I wanted to talk about. What was it? What did you guys say before you said that thing? Then that happens all the time for me because I keep note of things.
You know, the last podcast. Yeah, I'm not doing it this time. Yeah. Last podcast, I actually kept my tablet in it.
Yeah.
Just where I just wrote down notes in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, like, let's say Tam is saying something in it. Obviously, I don't want to interrupt him in it.
Yeah.
So, like, Tam is saying something and it makes me think of a point. I just jot it down.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a really good practice.
Yeah, yeah, it is. What I'll say about that is one of my friends in it, he's very much the person that, like, he has to-do list apps on his phone, and you know, he tries to make everything very structured, so like make a note of this is high priority, this is low priority, etc., etc. And so I tell him, like, I feel like it has to be a limit to that, because okay, fair enough, you can do that in a conversation, but then when are you actually going to use your mental fortitude, you know what I mean? When are you actually going to use your mental strength to actually remember things? Otherwise, you're just going to constantly keep writing things down, and eventually.
I mean, I don't think there's a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. What I think is,
and I don't think it's a disadvantage in terms of your mental fortitude, because, like, okay, mental fortitude, what does that coincide with? Discipline, right?
Yeah.
You know, generally speaking, right, and this is the reason why I don't agree with you, is generally speaking, the people who I've seen who are very disciplined are the people that do that. They're the people that take notes. They're the people that have to-do lists, that have a schedule, and stuff like that. What do you think?
You're right, but my point wasn't that. My point wasn't keeping track of things. I agree, you need to have some sort of system to keep track of things. But in terms of, like, don't go overboard, basically. Don't try and put every small thing as a thing to do, as a reminder, this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Otherwise, you're never going to have, like, if you're in the moment, like, if I'm in a conversation, I just start writing things down, like, oh, yeah, I need to do this tomorrow morning. Like, basically, force yourself in some situations to actually remember things rather than, because then it, for me at least, I don't know about other people, but it makes me dependent on this, and it makes me dependent on checking my phone, and it makes me dependent on checking my calendar, this, that. Like, I have certain things I need to do in the week, right?
But what's wrong with being dependent on that? Like, because, let's say your phone, you're always going to already have it with you, innit? You know, so...
What if I don't?
It's one of them ones, like, you know, the calculator and stuff, innit? You're always going to have one with you type of thing, innit?
How I feel is...
What if you don't... Okay, tell me a scenario where you don't have your phone.
A lot of times, actually. I mean, I not like...
No, go on.
Like, for example, like when I'm going downstairs, I might leave my phone upstairs. I might always have it in my pocket with me. Like, when I go out, sometimes I'll leave my phone at home. That's not very common when I go out, or you should take it with me. But like when I'm in the kitchen or whatever, I need to do something, I'll just make a note of something I need to do. It's not always with me, thank God. But, God, sorry.
No, you can finish.
Okay. I was just going to say, for me personally, what it's led to is basically...
Reliance.
Reliance. And not actively trying to remember things. And what it also leads to is not doing things in the moment. For example, if I have a thought in my head, and I'm like, I could easily do this in 2 minutes. And I'm like, oh, I'll just write it down, do it later. Like, I could easily have done it in 2 minutes and got the thing done and dusted.
I understand everything you're trying to say. It makes perfect sense. You know, sometimes you should try to rely on your memory and strengthen it. And so instead of writing something down, try and force yourself to remember it. But on the other hand, writing something down, I don't know how true this fact is because I read it years ago. But yeah, writing something down does in turn... do that, strengthens your memory and helps you remember the thing you wrote down. I read that writing something down is equivalent to reading it 7 times. Don't know how true that is, but it gives a vague picture of how accurate, you know, how much it helps. And even if you do write something down, let's say you don't even go back to your list, at least you still have the memory of writing it down as well. Whereas if you're trying to just remember it, you don't really have as strong a memory of it. But like as a coding of it, let's say.
Yeah.
So you're writing, and that's why it's true. Like my director at work, I've noticed everywhere she goes, everything she does, even in big meetings, she's usually really quiet and she's just writing everything down. And by the end of the meeting, I've written like half a page, and she's got like 2 whole pages of notes, fully detailed. I don't even know how she remembers it, and she still remembers it in her head, even though she's got it all written down. I'm just like, damn, it's crazy.
No, I agree. It's like you know, when you have classes and stuff. You're usually advised to take notes, like, you know, like in school, or even like Sunday class as well, innit? Or whatever Quran class you go to, innit? They usually like don't let you take home the PowerPoint presentation. They say take notes, innit?
Reset.
Yeah.
You want it? Okay.
The red button, yeah. I remember there was this guy I knew in it who, he's a hafiz of the Quran, right? And what he told me was he memorized in a very interesting way. So he didn't really memorize in the way of like repeating it a lot in it as you do at mosque in it. He actually wrote the entire thing down. That's how he memorized it. He just kept writing it. And like that's another thing as well. And obviously don't really want to go into that discussion. But another thing as well, like in terms of teaching kids, and inshallah we'll have this as like probably a point for like another episode at some point in it, you know. But in terms of like teaching kids and stuff, man, like people learn in different ways, man. People learn in different ways, and sometimes like that there is a bigger disadvantage around, like, you know, let's say you want to teach a kid how to memorize Quran. Not everyone memorizes in the same way, in it, you know. But yeah, we'll talk about that some other time,
inshallah.
But yeah, just going back to that topic. So
we really haven't asked Saad a big question. Well, how was your Eid? What'd you do?
You know what? I was keeping a track of my Eid points in my mind. Yeah.
Let's see how.
One point you mentioned was Eid not feeling the same as you were a kid, right? And one of my friends said this recently. He said, I think we need to get used to the idea that he just won't feel the same as like he used to, basically. And a lot of things that you did as a kid just won't feel the same. And coming to terms with that idea, because a lot of people, I feel like, first of all, my youth was good, alhamdulillah. I didn't do much, just woke up kind of early, woke up late, really. And went to like the last latest Eid prayer I could find, really. It was at Heritage Center, like 11 a.m.
That's late.
You know what it was, bro? It's because...
So you don't pray with family?
Usually I do. But this time what happened was on Friday, because I was fasting, alhamdulillah, I ended up knocking out for like an hour and a half, and that led me to sleep very late on Friday night, and I couldn't get to sleep, and it was also like very hot and humid and stuff. And so by the time I actually went to sleep, it was like 4 a.m., half four. And I messaged my dad at like 3 a.m. I was like, yeah, like whenever you read this in the morning or whatever, like I'm not going with you, by the way, because I'm not going to sleep to go with you. Ironically, I got the same amount of sleep probably going to the latest prayer than I would have if I had slept at that time and not missing my dad. But anyway, I decided to message my dad and I stayed up for another hour after that. And by the time I woke up, it was like half 10 or something. 10, no, it was like, yeah, 10-ish. Alhamdulillah. Anyway, sorry, going on to another point, which was not getting used to the fact that things aren't going to feel the same. A lot of people try and make it, exert too much effort in making something that reminds them of how it was when they were a kid. And in that process, if they're in a group, they'll ruin it for other people. Or if they're by themselves, they might end up spending copious amounts of money. What you often find is, like birthday parties, for example, yeah, or weddings, also kind of similar vibe. They might try and emulate the weddings as they've seen other people have weddings. And so if one person's had a very grandiose wedding with a Lamborghini and a big hall and, you know, 2,000 guests or whatever, they might try and emulate that. Similar with literally any event in general. And either same as well. When you're a kid, you have like money, you have, you know, you have loads of presents, you have lots of food, this, that. And I feel like that adds a lot of extra stress. Need.
You have that.
Bro, legit,
money,
like,
bro. Bro, I have Beyblades, bro.
I got like 150 quid or something, 160. Because every auntie gives you like 20 quid, 10 quid, 20 quid, 20 quid, 5 quid, 5 quid.
Does that happen to, did that happen to
you? You need to be my family, mate. I'm telling you. You got a lot of money. Yes, I'm saying. The thing is, you couldn't really spend it on much because, no, parents don't take it.
Take commission, bro.
Parents might take it, yeah. But back then, you're talking 2006, 2007. Freddos were still good price. I always like to explain inflation in terms of Freddos. Freddos have...
That's the best.
Biggest tangent ever. Freddos, they've gone up. Everyone take note of it, right? Freddos have decreased in size, I swear, and they've increased in price. That's flipping inflation. That's everything. How you know. The commodity, Freddos are a commodity. Freddos are more popular to me than gold and silver. They're worth more. They're the perfect example of inflation. Anyway, sorry. But yeah, the things were cheap back then. So you could spend 5 quid on something and get like a whole treasure trove worth of stuff, right? So money was really hard to spend. But now it's £2 a litre for petrol. Well, for diesel. So, you know, that 150 quid is going to go like that. But just, I think there needs to be some moderation, basically. When you grow up, you need to realise that things aren't going to feel the same as
when you're a kid. I agree with you. But at the same time, okay, firstly, yeah, things aren't going to be the same as when you were a kid. But the problem I have, and I see a lot of people having, is that it's not anything at all, though. That's the thing. Like, here's the thing about Eid. Eid is meant to be something that you look forward to.
Yeah.
Something that you celebrate, etc., right? Now, let's say Ramadan, for example, Eid al-Fitr. The only reason I look forward to Eid is because I'm like, I can eat. Like, that's the only reason. No other reason in it, you know? And I find it sad that how, you know, obviously you shouldn't really be comparing yourself to people of other faiths and stuff, innit? But I find it sad how, you know, and it's not just myself. If it was just myself, fair enough, innit? I find it sad that how a lot of us, we don't look forward to Eid. Eid is not a special day to us, right? And at the same time, you have, you know, Christians, and how much they look forward to Christmas. Not even how much Muslims look forward to Christmas, bro. That's very sad. And it's like, you know, end of the day, like, yeah, I mean, you could say that, okay, we're in a Western country, Christmas, there's a lot of, like, you know, there's a lot of effort being put in by, you know, corporations and the wider community, etc. But in a real sense, you know, Christians, they enjoy Christmas. Well, not even Christian, I don't want to say that. Okay.
English people,
Muslims, right? You know, quite a few of them. They enjoy Christmas because, you know, they really put a lot of effort into celebrating it with their families. Whereas for us, I don't know, like, we kind of fell into a weird thing for Eid, in my opinion. you know, a weird thing that's not really enjoyable for a lot of people, or is enjoyable for a select few amount of people in it. Yeah. Now, let's say, for example, you know, alongside there is the African mosque, right? So the African community, they spend their entire Eid together, the whole community together. You know, the same way, that's why I really like the park idea. You know, so, you know, when masjids, they do park events in it. I don't know if they did it for Shafran one. Did they have, like, activities afterwards, or was it just a prayer?
It was just a prayer, and there was an ice cream van, but they are planning to have it by next time. Oh, okay. See, it was first time they did it. They didn't have much prep time. 100%. But yeah, they're definitely planning to have, like, you know, bouncy castles, stalls, everything for everyone.
Yeah, so that's really good, because then you don't need to worry about, oh, my friend's going to be there, this and that. It's a whole community together, innit? When you go to, like, house after house, innit? Like, for example, I have people who are in the network of family friends who I really enjoy spending time with, right? But unfortunately, when it came to going house after house, our houses did not align. It never aligned, didn't it? So it used to be like, I'd go to one house, be sitting in the living room, boring. By the time I leave the house, they probably go there in the evening, innit? Or we don't even go to the same houses a lot of the time, innit? You know? And it's like, it's almost like you're taking the community and you're just breaking them up. You're breaking them up and putting them in different places, innit? Obviously, like, you know, the big reason why they do it is because each family wants to give food, innit? But I think, like, a good alternative to that is, like, you know, what the African mosque does, or, like, you know, Makki Mosque, I think they collaborated with other masjids in the area, and when they did it in the park, like, everyone comes together in the park and you have stalls and whatnot, and people bring their food. I think the African mosque probably does that better in it, because they're like, they're more like a community, each one of them bringing food and stuff, and like just bringing it all together and whatnot, and that's a lot more fun, I think. We don't really try and make it inclusive for everyone, you know.
It's kind of like an individual
family thing. Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, you know, first thing is the kids, the little kids, you know, you don't want them to make a fuss out of things. So the way you compensate for that is, like what Saad said, you give them EDs, right? You give them presents, and then that usually shuts them up in it for a bit, you know. But obviously that does not work with teenagers or older.
It would work and with me.
Yeah, innit, bro?
I wouldn't mind somebody.
I wouldn't mind that, bro. That would shut me up, bro. Yeah, but, it, you know, it's sad, because in today's day and age, it is the teenagers, it is those people who are between the ages of 14 to 20, right? Those ages are the ones that are most vulnerable, bro. They're the ones that usually drop off of Deen, innit? So they're the ones that we really need to cater for. Yeah. Not so,
you know, of course, to be clear, but I'm saying there is a, you know, anyone that is in that lifestyle, I highly advise you to reconsider your position and move towards, you know, a proper, more, let's say, Islamic, holistic, and healthy lifestyle. Yeah, I was saying Eid for a lot of youngsters. And like I said, not genuinely, but please do reconsider your position and your state. Is shisha, and is, you know, Wimsler Road, and just messing about, and, you know, a bunch of revving your cars, and, you know, revving your 2005 Golf or something. You know, I mean, it's not even a good car. Like, you know, it's like, bro, like, no, but you know what's
listen,
like,
when you're on a college budget,
bro, why I don't care is if you have a Lambo and you're revving it, okay, makes some sense. But then you have like an old 20-year-old car, and you're like, brum, 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 you're trying to like get the most out of the revs in that car. I'm like, come on, man, what are you actually playing at? No one's looking at your car. I'm sorry, but anyway, I'm blasting music. You know, this type of thing, this type of attitude. So it is,
a part of the reason why is because they're not really included into Eid normally, you know, and I don't mean that they're not included into Eid normally at the age of 18, which is probably them, innit, but from the age of like 13, 14, innit, so they spend the last like, what, 5 years not really finding Eid enjoyable, so obviously then they're just going to figure out, okay, me and my college friends, how are we going to enjoy Eid then? Like, what are we going to do, innit? And unfortunately, in our communities, we don't really teach the majority of Muslims, innit, properly. Saad said, tarbiyah, innit? We don't really give that too much.
Usually, I need you look more forward to spending time with your friends than your family. As in, yeah. for a lot of people, and that's
yeah,
the case.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like, bro, you know, it's good to spend time with friends, but you want to spend time with family, but then your family's too busy spending time with their friends.
Like, so house it's like, jumping.
Oh, house jumping, innit? You know? Now, like, let's say, for example, my mom, innit? Because my mom obviously knows that I don't really enjoy the house jumping. What she's told me like, more recently was, hey, you know, on Eid, why don't you spend it with your friends? And I'm like, that's a sick idea. The only problem is my friends spend it with their families.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
that was never going to work.
I was literally, I remember I came home from Eid prayer in the mosque.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, well, my dad was, I think he went to sleep. My sister went to a friend's house. My other sister was, I think, asleep or doing something. So my mom was like, just go out, go somewhere. So I was like, I would, but I don't know where to go. I was like, you know, my friends are with their families. And I could call a few here and there, but, you know, I don't want to really force it. You know, I'd rather spend time with the family as well. Mm-hmm. Especially with my mom, because she was cooking, you know, all day yesterday and today.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't just want to leave her home alone. Yeah. So I was like, no, I'll just stay.
My friend's mom said the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. My friend's mom said the exact same thing, and she was like, yeah, why don't you go out with your friends? And he said the exact same thing. And he was like, everyone's probably with their family. What do I flipping do? And so he just went out shopping, because they went on Dale in it, I think. And he just went out shopping by himself with his parents, like, or his mom and brother, whatever. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's good. I think if there was like a dedicated time to your family and then to your friends, or even if you could merge the two, it'd be ideal. But yeah.
First day family, second day like friends, and the third day like something like that.
Yeah, and that's why the park thing was really good, because the sense of community there was top tier.
Yeah,
man.
Sorry, but you put
beautiful.
Everyone in the same spot, it solves all of those problems. You get what I mean? Like,
and now imagine put stalls and people selling stuff and clothes and games for the kids.
Yeah, and it's
that's
like,
it,
bro, like it's like Islamically speaking, right? Obviously, what's the best way to celebrate Eid? You look at how is it that the early Muslims, the first generation Muslim, how did they celebrate Eid in it? For them, they had their community center in it, you know, which is what we would consider the mosque in it. Their mosque was a community center for them. And, you know, is that a sort of idea of, I don't know, did they spend Eid in the mosque, or did they go to houses? What did they do? I don't actually know. The time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
I'm not sure actually, but the mosque was basically a community center anyway.
Yeah, yeah, because I know they used to socialize there a lot. Yeah, I don't want to say if they did it, because I actually don't know if they did Eid specifically. But yeah, I mean, it'd be actually a good idea to look into. Like,
I mean, just to add as well, like at the time of the Prophet, everyone you knew was basically family, because they all came from tribes in it. So the tribes were neighboring tribes anyway. So they were friends and family at the same time, really.
That's
good. And speaking of, I wanted to mention the story, what happened. There'll always be the few that are against it. And it's really weird, because so this event or the Salah in the park started at like 9:30, between like 9 to 9:30. And they were giving like khutbas and talks, and it was blessed, and the sisters had a whole separate section with covers like huge. So, you know, it's not like they were left out either. And the speakers were loud enough. Everything was fine. The weather was banging. And then I think they were giving khutbas, and then, I don't know, it usually, see, the thing is, at some point, I think someone just stood up, and just started, like, complaining, like, why are you taking so long, what's going on, and then people just started standing up, and they were about to, like, start praying themselves or something. They're like, yo, we're just gonna start praying, and then we were like, what, like, and the funniest thing, or well, the ironic thing is, the khutbah that they just gave, the talk, was on patience. So these men didn't pay attention at all. And they get up, and I think mainly they were complaining that they were sitting in the sun. But honestly, like, probably not 90% of them are Bengali. I'm pretty sure you're used to the sun, right? Like, Bangladesh is a very hot country, let's just say. Yeah. And yeah, fair enough. If the kids weren't complaining, I don't see why you, as a well-functioning group, because we know who the people that stood up were.
Yeah.
And they weren't exactly, you know, in a unhealthy state. And so,
well, I bet you it's because they just didn't want to sweat up their Eid clothes, bro. Like,
someone said that they got a text that the samosas are ready. You know, they got a text from home that the samosas are ready. So they wanted to be in a rush. But yeah, so that kind of ruined the spirit of it. But then obviously, they were like, you know, don't ruin the spirit, or, you know, the fast you did or everything, by, you know, by a few actions, you know, we'll yeah. get the prayer done. And obviously it's the first time they did it. And the thing is, it was still within the time that it would normally be. You know how normally it's like half mm-hmm. 9 to half 10.
Yeah.
It wasn't even half 10 by the time we finished everything. So it didn't really make sense to me why people yeah. were complaining so much.
You know, obviously it was hot and was there any wind or anything?
I mean, there was a slight breeze. It was hot, yeah. but it wasn't scorching hot because I was fully clothed. And I was standing up with the volunteers. We were standing up the whole time. We didn't sit down once. And we didn't feel knackered at all. We didn't feel stressed at all. I wasn't even sweating. So
Because I wasn't in Manchester, so I don't know what it was like. I heard that it was much hotter than here in Manchester.
Mm.
And over there, we had no issues about
the
weather. The sun and stuff in it. Granted, at the same time, even though there was a lot of sun, there was a decent breeze as well in it, which I think was quite calm in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, bro, did you see the picture that I sent?
Yeah,
like,
we saw.
Like, my man with the shades and stuff. Like, that's what you need in the tactics, bro. But you know?
In the end, though, the feeling couldn't have been beaten, especially afterwards when everyone, you know, after the salah was over and then everyone was hugging each other and everything. That was sick. And I think the best part for me was just seeing all the little kids just running around and their parents just taking pictures of them and trying to chase them.
Yeah, and that's cute, man.
Honestly, it's just, when you see that, that's how you know, you know.
Bro, you know what? When I was at Heritage, innit? they were doing the imam was doing the khutbah. And there's like a little girl just in the middle of, because it was like a separation, right? Because it's, Heritage is like a, it's also, the hall they use also a wedding hall. Stuff like that. So there's like a little kind of pathway for, like, I'm assuming the bride or whoever walks down that pathway. And there were two separations, right? So men were there, men were here as well. And so there's a little girl just going, Baba, 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 Baba. And everyone's just flipping, looking at her like, what is that, bro? And then some guy grabs her. He's like, Baba's over there. And then she goes and flipping.
Bro, kids are too blessed, man. Like, they have no social awareness. You know, it's so jokes, man. It's so jokes. Yeah.